This is Industry Matters, powered by VGM, a post-acute healthcare podcast about community, connection, and belonging. VGM is a member service organization serving durable and home medical equipment providers and manufacturers. VGM also has communities for respiratory, complex rehab, women's health mastectomy, home accessibility, and orthotics and prosthetics. With VGM, you're part of something bigger. Welcome to Industry Matters. In today's episode, Tyler Mankey, Vice President of U.S. Rehab, sits down with one of the top complex rehab technology providers in the United States, along with Dr. Pooja Vishwanathan, founder and CEO of Braze, as they share stories about the success of this growing smart technology for power and manual wheelchairs. They chat about how this has impacted their businesses, how satisfied their clients have been, how this technology has protected the health and safety of their clients. And lastly, Braden shares some personal stories about his father and how he believes this technology could have helped lengthen his life had he had access to smart wheelchair technology.
Welcome, everybody. I want to thank a few people for hopping on here this morning for our next edition of the U.S. Rehab Podcast. We got a couple great folks here from Reliable Medical and Braze Mobility that I want to introduce quick, and then I'll let them kind of take over, and we're just going to have a nice conversation today about some complex rehab items that we've got going on in our industry. So prior to founding Braze Mobility, Dr. Pooja completed her doctoral and postdoctoral research on the development of smart wheelchairs that helps prevent collisions through various interventions. Pooja has received many awards from prestigious organizations. She has written many peer-reviewed publications, and she was actually named the WXN Top 10 Most Powerful Women in BMO Entrepreneur 2021. And also is on RoboHub's list of 50 women in the robotics you need to know. Not a big deal, Pooja. That's pretty impressive. So welcome to our meeting. Braden is also joining us. He's with Reliable Medical, has been with them since 2022 as the chief financial officer. He's got about 20 years worth of financial experience in a variety of different industries, different company sizes, different ownership structures. He's got a bachelor's degree in finance from Brigham Young and a master's in business administration with an emphasis in accounting from Johns Hopkins University. A couple of good organizations, not a big deal, Braden. He is passionate about our industry, and his father actually suffered with a muscular dystrophy for over 40 years. So he has seen outcomes from a customer's perspective as well. And lastly, we've got Regina Osborne, an ATP with Reliable Medical. She'd been an ATP for approximately 3 years, and before that was a COTA for 8 years. She currently covers the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. And thank you, everybody, for hopping on. Look forward to this conversation today. So, Pooja, I'm gonna hand it over to you to kind of start the conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tyler, for bringing us all together here. I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a very unique conversation. You know, we have a lot of very different stakeholders on this call, and this kind of stuff really excites me. So I guess I'll kick it off by talking a little bit about what brought me here, because it was a fairly convoluted journey for me. So back in 2006, I went into entered a long-term care facility for the first time in my life. And when I went in, I noticed that a lot of the residents there were slumped over in manual wheelchairs. They didn't have the strength to self-propel, and they weren't being allowed to use power mobility because of safety concerns. You know, things like staff being worried that they were going to bump into things, bump into people. And as, you know, a lot of us know, dementia is fairly prevalent in long-term care facilities. So there's also those cognitive issues. So this was all a real eye-opener for me. And, you know, I saw the exclusion from power mobility as a violation of a fundamental human right. And that's really what set me down this path. I had a background in robotics, and so I decided to put that to good use and started to go down this road of looking at assistive technologies and started building smart wheelchairs to help address this problem. So I, as an academic, as you, as Tyler, you mentioned, I did my PhD postdoctoral research on smart wheelchairs and sensor technologies. And then, about a decade more later, realized that there still wasn't any commercial technology that was addressing this problem. And so despite the fact that, I knew nothing about starting a business, I was definitely not one of those kids that was, out there selling lemonade or anything like that. I had no prior knowledge of what it took to start a company. But I just felt like I had been so invested in the space for so long and, somebody had to do something about it. And so I figured, well, might as well be me. And so that's really how I ended up starting Braze. And so now, almost 17 years after I first saw this problem, at Braze, we've developed the world's first and only really blind spot sensors for wheelchairs. So that's my life in a nutshell. But I want to start talking to you, Braden and Regina. And so, Braden, it's been so exciting to see Reliable grow in the last few years. It's been fascinating. I remember when I first started working with your ATPs, I think you guys only had locations in Minnesota and Ohio. And I think now you're in at least a dozen states, if I read correctly. So tell me, what's that been like for you as CFO? What excites you about, Reliable's growth in the near term and long term?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I've only been with Reliable for about a year. I have some prior experience with a prior competitor, but came back into this industry with an invitation from Katie because of the opportunity and the growth and the set of products and services that Reliable wants to offer to this industry. 5 years ago, Reliable was 3 branches in Minnesota. Now we're in 13 states, over 500 employees. Soon we'll be nearing 100 ATPs. And so it's really been excited to come on board with a company that offers a very unique product and service and the way we approach things. That's, again, different in this complex rehab technology and DME industry, where we believe we are focused on our clients, our employees, and our culture, and delivering a set of services that helps. Everyone thinks a CFO is a bad word at a company, but my job is to ensure that we have enough finances to reinvest in our employees, reinvest in our clients, and reinvest in this industry to create a service-oriented industry and company. And it's going well. We have a lot of states, a lot of state Medicaids, a lot of commercial payers that want us to get into their states because of what we're offering that's different. So really exciting time for us.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I guess something that I'm curious about as a CEO of Braze is, what role do you think innovative technologies like Braze's sensor technology plays in your day-to-day and growth as, a company like Reliable?
I think a company like Braze and these innovative technologies are incredibly critical to the future of our industry. You look at other various industries that have come up, like the auto industry, things like that, where safety technology is now commonplace. And I go back to the example you were talking about when introducing yourself, where you went into this healthcare facility and found all the people sitting around. That's not a good thing. With these innovative technologies, we can actually get people mobile. Our whole emphasis is mobility, accessibility. It's not just providing a product so someone can sit. It's getting them to have a normal life just like all the rest of us. And I think innovative products like Braze allow us to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Love that. So before we start talking about the sensor technology itself, I think it's really important to discuss the need, as you've kind of hit on. Now, you have a personal story, Braden, and I'd really love for you to share that with us with, around yourself and your father. Can you tell us a little bit about that and in your experience as a family, as a caregiver?
Absolutely. So a few years after I was born, almost 50 years ago, next week, my father was diagnosed with limb-girdle muscular dystrophy. And so he had, you know, a good 30 years where he was still able to walk around. But eventually he had to, you know, be mobile through a power wheelchair. And he was doing very well. You know, we had standing machines and beds and wheelchairs, every product we could think of. But one day, and he was still working into his 80s. Wow. One day he was not paying attention and rammed his foot into a wall. And unfortunately, it caused a very large gash on the bottom of his foot. And again, with limb-girdle muscular dystrophy, his legs were basically becoming atrophied. No circulation. So for a period of 3 years, he was going to wound care weekly because the wound never healed. Eventually, that caused him to have other health issues because he was constantly having infections, fighting off gangrene. So eventually he had to have an amputation of his leg, which emotionally was very disturbing to him. And so that set him back emotionally, psychologically. And then because of that, we ended up having to put him into full-time home care. And unfortunately, he only lived about another year in that home care. So I attribute the shortening of his life to that one single incident that put a cut on his foot about this big that ended up causing an amputation.
Gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that, first of all, and wanted to thank you for sharing and being open about something so personal. But I think it's so important to share these stories because, you know, it's only through these stories that we learn, some of us at least, who maybe don't have these personal experiences, learn about some of the challenges and can then use that to hopefully come up with some solutions. So thanks so much for sharing that. And I'm sure there's maybe other people that are listening to this that can resonate with some of the stuff that you've just said. So with that, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how maybe these BRAISES blind spot sensors specifically could have helped your father. But before that, I don't know that everyone knows what BRAISES blind spot sensors are. So I want to take a quick couple of minutes to do a live demo so everyone can get to learn about BRAISES blind spot sensors and how they can help with detecting obstacles and providing feedback and so on. So let me just start with, and I'm going to just quickly do a spotlight here so that I can show up for everyone. There we go. That should put me on a bigger screen. Okay. So I'm going to start off by showing some of the different components that are part of the system and then go on to explain the functionality. So I'm holding a portable board here that has the components. These components are typically mounted on the wheelchair, but just for display purposes, I'm going to show what all of these things do. So on the top, I'm holding a sensor array. So this is the Sentinel, which is our sensor that detects 180 degrees approximately of horizontal coverage and about 45 to 50 degrees of vertical coverage. So the Sentinel is typically mounted to the rear of the wheelchair, but can be mounted to the front in some cases as well. And then the second component that I'm holding here is a smaller sensor. So this is called the Echo Head. Now the Echo Heads are modular, so they can be placed pretty much anywhere around the wheelchair. Although we do find that the most popular configuration that we have is a Sentinel in the rear and then two Echo Heads, one on either side, pointing kind of diagonally forwards for the peripheral coverage. And that's to help with things like going through doorways and elevators and those sort of tight spaces. And then finally, the last component is the controller. So this is what provides the visual feedback and has the buttons and switches to control the system. So with that, I'm going to turn the system on by pressing on the big white button. And right away, we'll notice that a blue light comes on, which tells us that the system is in mode one, which we refer to as the short range mode. And I'll go over what that means. So if I pull sensors back here, you'll notice that there are some lights that where the sensors are detecting obstacles. Now you'll notice some yellow lights and some red lights. So the yellow lights are detecting obstacles within 2 feet. And as I get closer, I'm actually going to move my hand. And if you keep your eye here on the bottom row, as I move my hand across the sensors, we'll notice red lights coming on and following my hand. So these lights are indicating proximity as well as location of the obstacles. So yellow for 2 feet and red for anything that's within a foot. Now these are the standard thresholds in that short range mode. If I toggle the button one more time, we'll go into long range mode, and here all the distances are doubled. So instead of 1 foot for the red light, we're gonna see a red light for obstacles within 2 feet, and then a yellow light for obstacles within 4 feet. So you've got short range, long range, and these are default distances. Now these distances can be customized anywhere from about a couple of inches to 6 feet. So you've really got that ability to adapt the system for the client's environment. So those are the two different ranges, the short range and long range, and the visual feedback. Now we do also have two other modalities, so I'll pop back into short range here. And so now when I turn on the auditory feedback by clicking the button, we're gonna turn on an audio alert, which is simply a beep. And so that's indicating that the obstacle there is in that inner red zone. And then the last modality is vibration. So the vibration modality looks like this. It's just a foam pad with a little motor in it. And we can have up to three of these, one in the left, one in the center, one on the right. And so if you can imagine someone going through a doorway, if they're too close to the right side of the chair will vibrate. If they're too close to the left side of the chair will vibrate. So that's really it. It's a very fairly simple system, three modalities, lights, sounds, and vibrations that are indicating location and proximity to obstacles. So hopefully with that, there's an understanding of what our system is doing. Now, a couple of points here is that the system is not only compatible with power chairs, and we're going to talk a lot about power mobility here, but it is also compatible with manual wheelchairs as well and potentially other mobility devices. And the really key thing here that you will have noticed is that the sensors don't interfere with any of the wheelchair electronics, right? So it's very much a standalone system offering feedback and alerts so that the user has full control and full decision-making ability in terms of what they do with that feedback. So Braden, coming back to your story, you know, how do you think these sensors might have helped your father and other wheelchair clients?
Yeah, I definitely think they would have helped him, and I would have prevented this accident. Again, this was a very simple, just not being aware accident, and it wasn't like he was taking his wheelchair at 25 miles an hour and running it straight into a wall. He just happened to turn and bump into a wall, and his foot happened to be hanging over the footrest. So very simple thing that could have been avoided with some sort of warning, again, whether it was vibration, lights, sound, anything. I think this is an incredible technology that is preventative at a very low cost.
And so in addition to, I guess, you know, how it could have helped your father as a caregiver, can you speak a little bit about how it might potentially help, would have helped you and other caregivers or family members?
Yeah. So the example you were using of, you know, someone running into, you know, a door jam, as a caregiver, that is a constant fear about what is your, you know, loved one going to hit? Are they going to be able to maneuver through their house? Are they going to be able to maneuver through a doorway? So to me, this, as a former caregiver, would have relieved a lot of mental anxiety and stress, mm-hmm. again, as another preventative safety tool that could help my father be more independent versus, you know, so often you see someone in a power wheelchair and there's a caregiver following right behind them going, be careful of this, be careful of that, you know, yeah. look for this. And these tools help that person be independent and relieve the stress of the caregiver.
Yeah, that's so true. So I'm going to jump right to the question that's probably top of mind for everyone here, which is funding, right? So let's address that right away. And you kind of hit on price. So now, typically with new products, funding is a concern, right, with especially products like the sensors, which are not coded. So we typically use K0108 or E1399, which is miscellaneous. Now, the Braze blind spot sensor started about $1,800. And the most popular configurations range between $2,500 to $3,500. And so what we've seen is with that price point, there's really been tremendous success with Medicaid and other private insurance companies, even with that K0108 code. And of course, this is always, you know, on a client-by-client basis, so we can't say anything in general here, but we've certainly seen a tremendous success rate. So I wanted to know, what are your thoughts on funding, Braden? And what would your suggestion be to other ATPs and therapists who might be looking at this technology as, you know, wow, this is really great technology, but might just be very skeptical to even try it out because they feel like funding might be a barrier?
So I would say we're seeing a couple interesting things in the industry overall. One is Medicare and Medicaid are becoming more open to the innovative technologies as standing, seat elevation, things like that are coming. So the minds of the old federal institutions are opening. So I do think funding is becoming easier. Is it gonna be 100% success? Probably not. But what I will encourage everyone is that ATPs as well, don't let the funding stop you. At Reliable, we've seen a very interesting trend in that people are willing to pay out of pocket for additional technologies because the clients understand the need. And there are so many avenues right now in our industry for financial support, for assistive programs on the financial side to help an individual cover the costs of these products. So I don't feel like there should be any, you know, no one, especially on the company side, should be afraid of submitting it. If you don't try, you will never see this go forward. And that was the problem we had with seat elevation. 10 years ago, no one ever tried it. So Medicare didn't care. Well, now everyone tried it and Medicare is now getting ready to code it.
Right.
So let's try and push this through so we have examples with Medicare and Medicaid so they can see, hey, this many people want it. This many people have a need for it. Let's get it coded.
Yeah. Those are all great points, Braden. I want to also talk about kind of the other side, which is, you know, we talk about justifying the technology and the cost of the technology, but there's also an element of, you know, what can this sort of technology save the healthcare system, right? And we don't really talk about that. So can you speak to what you see as the savings to healthcare, perhaps other expenses that can be prevented? And I think it would be really great, maybe even providing context in terms of what you've experienced with your father and the kind of expenses that you had to incur as a result of his accident.
Absolutely. So yeah, I went back and calculated all the doctor visits, the two emergency hospital visits, the surgery, the extra caregiving, the extra drugs, the time and gas, the supplies. So I figured just with the wound care visits over a period of 3 years, it cost the healthcare industry $316,000. He had two emergency ER visits, approximately $20,000, amputation of $50,000. Extra caregiver support we had was about $60,000 over 3 years, $5,000 supplies, time and gas, $10,000, and drugs, another $5,000. So over a three-year period, the cost was about $466,000.
Wow.
And so you think if you can get a product, let's say, you know, you're saying $3,500, but even round it up to $5,000, you're saving $461,000 in my father's circumstance. And that honestly is probably a low estimate, very conservative. You get some more serious incidents where someone's having to go to a literal doctor every 2 weeks, something like that, that can easily double or triple into the millions. So a preventive technology like this is massively industry savings.
Yeah, thank you so much for that breakdown, because, you know, I think that is a lot of what we don't see. You know, we're so focused on the cost of the technology. And like you say, you know, when you're looking at numbers like almost $500,000, you know, $2,500, $3,500, or even $5,000 seems like a small fraction of that cost. So, you know, that's incredible for sharing. You know, thanks so much for those numbers there. Okay, so I want to switch over to Regina now. Thanks for being so patient. You know, really excited to talk to you. You're an ATP with Reliable. Tell us about yourself and what motivates you as an OTP, as an ATP.
Sure. Well, as Tyler mentioned, my background is in occupational therapy, and I got into OT because I was passionate about people being able to age in place, whatever that looks like for them. And then early on in my career, I learned the true value of seating, positioning, and mobility, and what it has to do with maintaining a level of independence and a sense of autonomy over how someone spends their day. And then that led me into my interest into being an ATP. And it very much guides me in how I relate to my clients and how I collaborate with therapists. So that sensibility, I just apply it to pretty much everything I do every day.
That's awesome. So Regina, you've actually been successful at getting brace sensors funded. So yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with funding as an ATP? And also if you have any other comments to add to Braden's insights
Sure.
here.
Sure. So as far as funding, I'm in Minnesota. So Medicaid here is, from what I understand, pretty great. So that's been the track I've been on. It's not a slam dunk every time. I haven't had any issues with my clients, but I do know of a colleague that did get a denial, but the appeal went through. So, you know, as Braden mentioned, sometimes if you don't ask, no one's going to respond. And so what we do is, as an ATP and my team, is part of our job is to make sure we're supporting the therapists and providing, you know, just exactly what this technology is going to do for their patients so that they can in turn explain clinically the medical benefits in their letters to the insurance company. So again, I've been lucky. I haven't had a whole lot of bumps in the road, but I also feel like that support with the therapy teams is really integral to pushing things to people, you know, considering new technologies.
Yeah. And Regina, I will say, I mean, having now been doing this for a few years, I certainly am noticing a difference in things going through faster and easier now than they did, for example, 3 years ago, when maybe there were still a lot of questions about, you know, what is the technology? What's the need? I think there's been a lot of interesting things happening, and maybe we have to thank the automotive industry. You know, I think people now having this technology in their cars, they're a lot more familiar, right? You don't have to explain what a blind spot sensor is anymore. So it's really nice, I think, that we're benefiting from, sure, you know, just how pervasive this technology has gotten in cars, that sometimes we're seeing justifications, even just a couple of sentences, you know, or just, you know, it's just some, sure, justifications and case notes. So we've certainly seen that things have been getting easier with time. So that's really, sure, amazing.
Well, yeah, I think it's being seen as science and not science fiction. You know, it's really, it's a reality now that we have, it's a tool in our toolbox for sure.
Yeah. And on that note, talking about science, it's interesting because we actually had a, I think for the first time really for anything in this technology, a few years ago, there was a third party peer reviewed publication where they looked at detection of obstacles in the rear for existing power wheelchair users with and without the Braze sensors. And some of the results, you know, I expected to see people do better with the sensors, but even I was not prepared for the differences that we saw. So in one scenario, for example, without sensors, people were detecting obstacles with 44% accuracy. That's how low the baseline accuracy was. And with the Braze sensors, it went up to 96%. So statistically significant results. And, you know, we can talk a lot more about that later with our with anyone who's interested in that in the scientific research there. But coming back to the funding, which you mentioned is a really important piece in working with the therapy team, understanding client needs and justifications. So who do you see as benefiting? You know, the technologies has helped your clients. Who are you seeing is really benefiting from this? What are all the different sorts of scenarios and justifications?
In my case, I would say what I'm seeing is, someone who has some sort of physical deficit, whether it's visual acuity or, you know, a visual field cut. Maybe there's some sort of range of motion limitation that doesn't allow someone to scan their environment thoroughly. But I can definitely see it someone who has maybe someone in a case of like a CVA where they have a general neglect or attention that they can't pay to things. And then there's also the case of a new user. Mm-hmm. My case was threefold in my most recent client where she couldn't scan her environment. She was a younger person in a new environment that she was not familiar with navigating, and she was also new to a power wheelchair. So this allowed her to not only navigate safely, but greatly build her confidence and her participation in things that otherwise she would have not felt she could engage in. So I really think anytime you have someone in a power chair or an obstacle to a power chair, for safety or some sort of physical deficit, this is worth looking at.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, that's certainly a big part of it is looking at the client's needs and abilities. Some of the other things that I also like to look at is the other technologies that the client's using, right? So oftentimes we don't think of, for example, when a client is in a bariatric chair or they're in a tilt position because they need to be in tilt, or if they've got accessories like, ventilators or extended leg rests. I mean, those are all really Absolutely. Big barriers we don't think of, right? And it's almost, those are agnostic to the person's diagnosis or abilities. Those are just things that are going to create barriers in that spatial awareness. So, perhaps that's also something that you've seen. I mean, alt-drive users, right? Like head array, sip and puff, eye gaze users, again, because they need to face forwards when driving while using those devices, we're kind of compromising now their peripheral and rear visibility, right? So those are also really
Agreed.
Important to
look at. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Great. So, now, other than the Braze blind spot sensors, there's very few options, that people might have. But even looking at those other options, what do you think are the biggest strengths of the Braze blind spot sensors? And what do you think really differentiates our technology from anything else that might be out there?
I would say the feedback, whether it's visual, audio, or the vibration, it actually indicates where the obstacle is. Versus just an alarm going off telling you something's close, great, now what? So that's a big benefit. I think the way that it is so modular and you can have it set up however you want, on whatever you want, really. There is really so many configurations, so many options. And that modular approach is not only great for the user, but for the technology. If something ever does go wrong or needs to be adjusted, you're not looking at scrapping the whole thing or replacing the whole thing. You can address the actual issues. And because it's standalone, we don't have to worry about technologies competing or technologies interfering with each other. Meaning if you are on a power chair, the braze is the braze and your power controls are your power controls. Yeah. And again, that's great for troubleshooting as well. All of these things, I think, make it more customizable than anything we could ask for. It is really so easily addresses every individual.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And Braden, you actually made a really good point in our last conversation, which is you really like the fact that the brace technology is simple, and you were drawing an analogy to cars these days, which sometimes can be just so complex with all these parts that are interconnected. And so one thing goes down and everything goes down. So, you know, do you want to speak to that, Braden?
Yeah, absolutely. The modular, again, independent setup, where again, you can track a problem that's independent from your chair, because so often, you know, common repairs, you know, going back to use my dad's example, my dad's chair was down for 2 months at one point because a $3 wire on the controller.
Right.
So when you start interconnecting all these things and everyone again sees it in the auto industry with their cars, you know, what happens when your touchpad on your brand new car goes down? You can't operate your radio, your AC or heat or anything else.
Right.
So having them separate is actually financially a good thing.
Yeah, and for replacements as well, right? So now you're only mm-hmm. replacing this one part that doesn't affect anything else. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely something that that we definitely considered carefully in the design. And kind of related to that, right? I think, you know, a lot of people look at a simple system and they think, oh, well, the development of it must have been really simple as well. And one thing I can tell you is someone who's built perhaps far more complicated technologies than the braze sensors. I mean, I've been involved in semi-autonomous and autonomous wheelchairs, you know, wheelchairs that could just drive themselves from point A to point B. And I will say it was incredibly challenging to build a simple system. You know, it's a lot more to think through, to think about what's going to be most simple and intuitive for a client, regardless of their ability, right? So that was actually quite a challenge. So just wanted to share that one piece. Now, of course, another concern that typically comes up with an innovative technology that's related is the ease of installation, right? So it can be really difficult to install some of these technologies. So unlike any other solution, like I mentioned, our sensors can be used with any power chair, and it's also starting to be used by a lot of manual wheelchair users, which we didn't expect at first, but we're starting to see more and more. We're even starting to see trials now with walkers and scooters, believe it or not. So, you know, one of the challenges when we were designing for wheelchairs is that every wheelchair and every client is unique. And so a critical aspect of our design is customizability and adaptability to a very wide range of wheelchair models and configurations. So I wanted to ask you, Regina, if you can speak to that and what your technicians' experiences
sure.
with installing.
Yeah, so all the feedback is it's very intuitive. It's something they can actually easily do in the field, whether that's the initial installation or, you know, sort of modifying it or even repositioning where the sensors are located. Your instructional videos, the way you have them sort of segmented for each part of the installation, means that someone doesn't have to sift through one giant video to find how to troubleshoot something or install a particular part. And then when the equipment is shipped, you're not just given what was on that order. There are additional parts in the event that whatever chair it's going on needs something adapted differently to mount it. And then there's also a very simple instruction sheet included that can help the technician educate the user, and the user can easily see how it works. It's like a page. It's yep. practically a brochure, and someone can start using it. So that is receiving rave reviews from the tech side. I think that the more people are seeing how quickly it can be added to something, the less pushback we're going to get to. Just it's not, someone doesn't have to get a certification to go and install or attend to a Braze system.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know, I mean, with one of your technicians, I know he's done a few of these now, and he says it takes him like 25 minutes now, and he's gotten so comfortable and confident with it. And, you know, and we really appreciate this feedback. I mean, we're constantly improving things. Our instruction manuals are getting better and better. And, you know, with this sort of feedback, and we have to thank, you know, not only the feedback that we get from you guys and the techs, the ATPs, from the providers, but also the support we've received from manufacturers, you know, from Sunrise Medical, from Permobil, from Quantum. I mean, we've gotten so much feedback and time from their engineering folks. That's really what's brought us to where we are today. So we really couldn't have done this without an incredible amount of support. And I think it speaks to the amount of collaboration in this industry, which is really heartwarming for me. I mean, I certainly thrive on collaboration. And I think we're a really great example of an industry that is highly collaborative. And we're all working towards that one goal, right, which is improving quality of life for our clients. So I think that's just so awesome. So I think that's really it for all of my questions that I have. I will say for any ATP that's interested in a trial, you can contact us through our website, www.brazemobility.com. If you'd like a loaner demo kit, we do have special discounts on demos for US rehab members. So if you'd like to purchase your own, you can get that as a discounted rate. Our demo kits do provide a lot of quick install mounts, so you can set up a demo in less than 10 minutes. And of course, we also provide virtual support, so we can get on a video call or phone call for any trial or installation, whatever you need us for, we're happy to support. So I will turn it back to you now, Tyler. I mean, you started this whole thing. This came out of an organic conversation that we had, and I'm so excited that we were able to do this. You know, and I think as what I see as really major value proposition for US rehab is to get people like us together. So this seems like it might have been a bit of a home run for you and for US rehab to, you know, facilitate this conversation. So love to hear any final thoughts you have, and we'll turn to you to close the conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for hopping on. Pooja, the CRT industry and mobility industry is in great hands of folks like yourself and Braze Mobility and other smart technology organizations out there, taking us truly to the next level. So keep doing what you're doing out there. And Braden, for hopping on and sharing your personal experience with this, and your father, very impactful to hear what you went through and your family went through. So thank you for going in depth and sharing that aspect of your life and representing Reliable Medical, who's a great partner of ours. Regina, thank you for sharing. I know certainly myself, I'm not an ATP, but just hearing you talk about the Braze units and the installation and how you've been able to get funding, I certainly feel more comfortable myself in talking with other folks that may have been hesitant, you know, and certainly there's been hesitancy from the funding aspects of this technology. There's certainly been hesitancy with installation of things like this. And I think we've, argued a great point in regards to utilizing technology like this in the future. So thank you all for hopping on, and everybody that listened in, from our membership, from our manufacturer partners, other providers out there in the complex rehab industry. Thanks for listening in. If there's any follow-up questions, you can reach out to myself. And I can connect you to Pooja and her team. I can connect you to Braden, to Regina. I certainly think everybody's open to sharing their experiences.
Thank you for listening to Industry Matters. Make sure you never miss an episode by visiting vgm.com/Industry Matters Podcast or following Industry Matters on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher.